Well, all in all, I'm glad the compilers of the lectionary decided to, rather than telling people that they should just get to a Good Friday service, when for some of us that's just very difficult, we've combined these two days together, realizing that it does create a few challenges. If nothing else, the readings are very long, and they can even be longer than that, and there's extra ones. There's more things to keep track of. And then there's a lot of different directions we can go when we're thinking of these particular events as they're put together on one Sunday, Palm Passion Sunday. Because we could spend a lot of time looking at the historical antecedents of these two Sundays, what palms meant, of the significance of Jesus arriving riding on a donkey, which is both a sign of humility, but also a symbol of Davidic kingship. We could spend some time looking at the other story where jurisprudence is so different than what we have now. And if that was justice, not quite sure what injustice would have looked like back then. But as I was thinking of these stories, these events, and I was thinking of them from our perspective where we know the end, we know what happens, the sermon title kept coming back to me. Did we need both? Why do we have Palm Sunday at all? Why do we have these stories in the Bible? What's, in a sense, what's the point? Well, there's lots of point. There's all kinds of things we can take from each of them individually. But when we put them together, we have a fascinating opportunity to see Jesus perhaps in a different light. Because really, Jesus encapsulates both of these now and forever. Both the celebration of palms and the horror of the passion. So what might I mean by that? Or what are the implications for us? Well, one of them is that we now know for certain that Jesus fully understands everything about us. I would be awfully surprised if anyone in this room hasn't at least once in their life been praised for something that they authentically deserve. I'm not talking about false praise. I'm not talking about flattery. I'm talking about when people notice that what you did was really good. When people notice where you are, they notice your position if you have one, or whatever it might be, and there is a meaningful and appropriate celebration of that, whether it's something as simple as a pat on the back or as significant as being written up in the company newsletter or whatever it might be. We've all experienced something like that. We did well in school, we did well in work, in our community, whatever it might be. But at the same time, I would be very surprised if there's anyone in this room who hasn't at least once been accused of something that they didn't do. And I know for certain that anyone with siblings has experienced this. At some point, you were held to account for something that you had nothing to do with. Or perhaps, at the best, you were led astray by the sibling who's now thrown you under the bus. Whatever it might be. What we see in these two stories is perhaps those two experiences, common to all people, taken to their ultimate degree. And what we have on this Sunday is another opportunity to pay some attention to Jesus, fully human and fully divine. Paul talks about these in his church to the letter in Philippi that was read for us, where Paul reminds them and us that Jesus was in the very nature God. He was everything of God, and yet chose to willingly, voluntarily give up some of those things to become in human likeness, taking the very nature of a servant. And we've spoken often here of the unique nature of Jesus, unique in another way, in another facet, more than we are, as we are all unique. but unique in having the full divinity and the full humanity combined in one person for the first time ever. And there's lots of implications that spring from that, that are useful for us, that are helpful for us. And by contemplating those, it helps us stay where we should be. Because when we think of Holy Week, when we think of Palm Sunday to Easter Sunday, it's very easy for us to spend more time on one aspect or another. And there's nothing wrong with, for this particular season, being more aware of one aspect or the other, but we can become focused on one to the exclusion or to the loss of the other. It's very easy for us, from our perspective, to look at Palm Sunday and say, there was the one time when more than his disciples realized who Jesus actually was. And we can spend time there, which is a good thing, but we can then forget about what happened in the rest of Holy Week. Or, as what is more common, we can get so caught up in the events of the Passion that we lose sight of Palm Sunday. We get so caught up in the drama of the story, and it's a dramatic story by any standard, of Jesus and the false accusations that are made, the end result of conviction followed by execution. We can get caught up in the details of that and forget about the reality of Palm Sunday. Anytime we're confronted by a duality, by two options, it seems to be human nature to pick one and almost ignore the other. But the metaphor of the road is a useful one, that we don't want to drive down either ditch, no matter how attractive it might be. But we want to drive on the road, in between the two. We want to hold the two together. And on Palm Passion Sunday, we're forced to do that. We are forced to look at Christ as King. When he was being lauded as Messiah as he entered Jerusalem, it was just a signifier of his true kingship. And Christ is human. Human to the point of taking our sin upon him and suffering the death that we all will. We can't ignore either one today. But what do we take from it? There are many things, but what I would suggest we look at this Sunday is we take this as an opportunity to remind ourselves once again that in Jesus we have an advocate at the right hand of God who understands us. Not from a theoretical standpoint, not from a dry academic understanding, but from being who we are. None of us are ever going to be lauded as a monarch, as a queen or a king. But we're not expecting that either. Jesus knew who he was. He knew he was Messiah. He knew he was a king. And so for that brief moment, he was recognized for what he truly was. All of us have done things that we should be recognized for, and sometimes we are. Jesus understands that. And he understands the temptation that we can face, that when we're properly afforded the congratulations, the honor that is legitimately due us, it's a temptation to think that because we're good in this thing, we're good in everything. We've all had the temptation. We may have even given into it, or we know people who have given into it, that on the basis of their expertise in this area, think that transposes into expertise in every area. Even things that we know nothing about, or virtually nothing about. Jesus understands that temptation to take a position and misuse it in one way or another, because he had that position. The Roman and Jewish authorities were afraid of Jesus because of the power he had over the people of Jerusalem at that moment. He could have called them into an open rebellion. But that wasn't what he was supposed to do. He rose above that temptation. And so when we're struggling with those temptations that come from that, Jesus understands from the inside. He went through it. And when we ask him for help in getting past the temptation to lord it among or above each other, he helps us from a perspective of knowledge. And when we're accused of things that we didn't do, when we're unjustly accused, and when, even worse, the process of justice works its way through and we end up being convicted of something we didn't actually do, whether it's something as trivial as misbehavior in the home that was actually one of our siblings or perhaps was made in honest error, whatever it might be, it's very easy for us to become bitter, to not seek justice, but to seek revenge. Jesus faced the same thing. No matter how legitimate the authorities were above him, they came to the wrong conclusion. Jesus was convicted for being who he actually was. What could be more wrong than that? Jesus had the opportunity, like all human beings, to turn this into a streak of bitterness within him. And in a way that none of us have, had the opportunity for revenge. He could have called angels to relieve him from this situation. Or if he decided he did have to die anyway, he could have taken everybody with him in Jerusalem. Jesus had that power, and his revenge would have been unbelievable. But he rose above that temptation, because that's what it was. It was a temptation. The call for Jesus was to submit to this injustice. The justice or injustice was irrelevant to the call upon him. And Jesus lived out the call that ended in his death without giving in to that temptation. And that's a temptation we all feel. When we're accused unjustly, when things don't work out the way we want them to, through no fault of our own, but through the malice of someone else, the temptation to be bitter, to seek revenge, is there within all of us. And when we take that temptation to Jesus, we're taking it to someone who understands from the inside. Palm Passion Sunday reminds us again of who our Savior is as he relates to us, as someone who knows us, who loves us, not because he doesn't know what we're like, but because he knows exactly what we're like. Jesus loves us even though we give in to the temptations he did not. Because he knows in a way that no one else does how strong they are. All of us have this innate sense of justice. Nobody has to teach small children to say that things aren't fair. They just know that some things aren't fair. And when we know things aren't fair, the temptation to try and make them better, no matter what, is almost overwhelming. If Jesus didn't understand this, how could we take it to him? If Jesus hadn't lived through what we live through, if Jesus hadn't dealt with all the irritations that being human have, with all the temptations, with all the opportunities to give in to arrogance or bitterness, if he wasn't that person, how could we go to him? And yet we can, because he is one of us. He wasn't just like one of us. He didn't just look human. He was human. And when Jesus rose above temptation, it was hard work, just like it is for us. He understands that. Do we need both these stories? Yes, we do, because they're part of the story. They're part of the larger picture. And snipping them out of Scripture would leave us missing some very important things. And one of those things is that deep and abiding sense that Jesus knows what we're going through, good or bad, is there with us from that feeling of kinship. You all know what it's like to explain something, whether it's joyful or anything else, to someone who just doesn't get it. We never have that with Jesus. He always gets it because he's been through it. In Jesus, even more than in our closest friends, our closest relationships, we are fully understood and loved. For this week, for this Holy Week, may we have the opportunity to ponder again what it means to be known, fully known, by Jesus and loved by him also. Amen.